Before that, though, almost 20,000 people have signed a petition. This is calling on the government to stop tenancy agreements which ban pets. Apparently, there's a 112% increase in surrenders to Dogs Trust because of this. And Ciara Murren is the head of communications at Dogs Trust. Ciara's with me here in Lunchtime Live today. Why do you want to end this ban, Ciara?
Hiya. Yeah, well, we've launched a campaign called Good Boy, Not Goodbye, and we're calling for fairer rental laws for people renting with dogs so they don't have to choose between their dog and their home. So that's why we've launched our petition. We want to basically call on government to prevent blanket bans on dogs and tenancy agreements.
So at the moment, you cannot bring a dog into a rental property. Is that the case?
No, that's not the case. But there are certain blanket bans. So you're allowed to basically say for no reason at all, we have a blanket ban on dogs. And to be honest, it's not always the landlord. It's sometimes management companies. So my management company, even though a landlord will be okay with having a dog in a property, the management company will just have an outright blanket ban that no dogs are allowed in this apartment block.
So at the moment, it's up to the property owner to decide their policy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Is that not fair, not though?
Or the management company, though.
Is that not fair that the owner of the property should be able to decide?
Well, we don't want to prevent them from allowing them to have that decision. It's more about that we should be allowing the conversation to be opened up, and they might have to have a good reason as to why a dog isn't allowed in their property. Because, you know, I think it's unfair to people that they have to lose a part of their family potentially because they can't find rental accommodation. You know, only 7% we found of houses on daft.ie across the whole country had pet-friendly accommodation. You know, and there's a lot of households that have, you know, a family with dog, a family pet, and we just, you know, feel that there should be more laws in there to protect them so that they don't have to choose between losing their dog or losing their home.
So there's no actual legislation as such around this at the moment. It's up to the property owner or the management company, Ciara, to decide whether or not I or you as tenants can bring our pet with us.
Exactly, yes. It is currently at the moment. And, you know, it can be written into a tenancy agreement that there's just a blanket ban and there's, you know, they don't have to have a reason, they don't have to entertain it in any way, you know. So it's more just, you know, we want to protect tenants, but we also want to protect landlords as well. We're not saying, you know, there should be a blanket, you have to have a dog
no.
in your property. You know, of course we're not saying that. It's just more to open the conversation up, you know, to allow them to have that conversation. You know, maybe, you know, there are certain dogs that, you know, would be suitable to some accommodation and certain dogs that wouldn't be suitable. And we're not saying have a blanket rule that should, you know, they have to allow them. It's just kind of, you know, just putting fairer laws in place that there isn't just blanket, no dogs allowed.
So you want the landlords, basically, or the management companies to have to give an explanation?
Well, I think it's only fair that they give a reason. Well, we don't think that it should be just a blanket policy. You know, I think, you know, in a lot of situations when it comes to landlords and tenants, you know, they do have to open up a conversation and say, you know, well, this is why, or, you know, so we do think that would be fair to have that conversation and perhaps explain, you know, why it's not a good reason or why it wouldn't be feasible.
I imagine in apartment complexes, it's probably not even that the landlord or the management company don't want pets or dogs in the apartment complex. It's probably to do, I assume, with other tenants. I wouldn't fancy living in an apartment with a dog, two or three dogs in the apartment above me because of the noise.
Well, again, that's something that we all have to live with. You know, I'm sure there's people for other reasons that might not want to live beside people for other reasons. You know, it's not just pets that you might not want to live beside that might be noisy, or but some pets aren't, you know, not all dogs are going to be barking or making noise. So, you know, it's just about coming back to responsible dog ownership as well, and making sure that the people that own dogs are responsible for their dogs and for any noise. And there's loads of ways to prevent your dog from barking or making noise throughout the day, and that's making sure that you have things in place like having someone to bring them out for walks regularly during the day, making sure that they're not getting bored.
So I know, look, I accept that. But not everybody will have a dog walker in place to come home in the afternoon and bring the dog out for a lunch as well, you know, Ciara. You talk about a 112% increase in surrenders to Dogs Trust. How do you know that 112% jump, though, is all down to tenants who've been told, we can't let you bring your dog into the apartment or the house you're renting?
We get that information from the people who ring us to surrender their dogs. So we do have data on that that shows that out of the percentage of calls that we get from people surrendering their dogs, a high percentage of those calls will be from people that couldn't find rental accommodation. So that's the reason that are given to us by people surrendering their dogs.
And 20,000 people, you guys at Dogs Trust have set up a petition about this. 20,000 have signed it to say they want the government to stop these tenancy agreement bans.
Yeah, well, so far we've had over 20,000 people sign our petition, but we'd really like to get more. We'd like people to go on. It'll only take a few seconds of their time, but it'll make a huge difference for us when we're going to government with the petition. And, you know, people can go onto our website, dogstrust.ie/petition, and it won't take long to sign if it's something that they feel strongly about. You know, dogs are our companions. And there are a lot of people, especially elderly people, living in accommodation that really depend on dogs for their comfort,
around companionship.
It'd be really sad to see, you know, an older person in particular having to lose their dog because, you know, they weren't allowed them in their property.
We'd love to hear from landlords and tenants about this today. 1800 453 106 is the number. Ciara Murn, Head of Communications at Dogs Trust, thanks a million for joining us here in Lunchtime Live.
Thank you so much.
Maurice Deverill is the landlords member of the Irish Property Owners Association. Maurice, should landlords have to explain why they don't want dogs in their rented properties?
Thank you very much for having the IPOA on. The problem with dogs or with any pets in property is basically twofold. One is the owners and the hygiene of the animals and whether the animals are actually house trained or whether they're actually not creating a problem within the property or doing damage to the property. And frequently, animals can do damage to property, which costs landlords money. And from that point of view, the ideal situation, of course, would be that you paid an extra deposit at the start to cover the cost that may happen and give it back at the end of the tenancy if no damage is done. However, in his wisdom, the minister in August 2021 turned around and limited the deposit to 1 month only. And because he's limited to 1 month only, and because we now have minimum amounts of time that tenants have to give notice and other parts of it, you are often that deposit is eaten up because maybe a tenant might leave early or eaten up on other damage, but it isn't going to be enough to cover the cost of replacing carpets or replacing other stuff. So because we're limited to this deposit, taking the risk to actually let an animal in, a lot of landlords would be shy on. There is not a blanket ban on letting animals in. I know I have it myself. I have one tenant that has a cat and it's perfect. I actually like it because it obviously keeps the mice down if there was any mice around or anything else, and cats are fairly clean.
Saves
so
it's
good from that
expense.
Point of view. I also have another tenant and they were minding a dog and the dog bit me in the property. Now, I leave myself open from the... there's a potential liability for me that if visitors get bitten in the property. Mm-hmm. So landlords will be shy about that part of it. So
point,
it's the deposit and it's actually the damage that these things can do. And obviously the smell, if a dog is not house trained, and please, Ciara, I'm sure you're still listening. I have had dogs. I can understand 100% where she's coming from. They are brilliant and everything else. It's not that I do not like animals. The smell can take an awfully long time to seep out of a house that has had dogs in it for a year or two. And often it's due to the owners not taking care of the dogs is what's made landlords shy of it.
So if there was an increase in the deposit that tenants had to pay, you think more landlords, Maurice, might be willing to let people bring their pet with them?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
okay. I notice in Britain they're doing something similar. Now, they were talking about bringing in a special insurance for dogs, that therefore if you had a dog that you had to have this insurance policy to show the landlord. However, they pulled away from that, and that would be kind of harder to do because who's to say that in the second year the tenant actually pays for the policy and the landlord is still covered. That can be more difficult to ascertain, especially with our present rental laws because they're so incredibly restrictive.
Jim Stephen is a pet behaviouralist and member of the Irish Kennel Club's Health and Welfare Committee. Have you encountered this, Jim? You know, people having to surrender their pet because they couldn't get accommodation over the dog?
I have, and I've also been asked to write a report on dogs for the owners to give to prospective landlords as well. And I think that could be one avenue that people take.
What, like a reference for the dog?
Yeah, a reference. I mean, you may get one from a boarding kennel to say that it doesn't bark during the day when the owners are away on holiday. It could be from your vet. It could be from a train. It could be from... it could be that you have attended training lessons. It's really about responsible dog ownership.
Mm.
But I have come across people who have been threatened with not finding properties because of a companion dog that they've had for several years. Circumstances have changed, mm-hmm. maybe lost the house or whatever and need to go into rental accommodation. They can be really quite distressing
yeah.
for families.
Oh, I can imagine it is. Yeah.
But
you know, look, I see it from both sides. I just think it's a very hard thing to say, you know, to tell a property owner you've got to take Jim's dog with you, you know, that you have to allow the dog into the property. So I sort of see it from both sides. But has that worked, the idea of having a reference for a pet? Has that softened landlords' attitudes?
Particular family, but I think that the major point is, if you are a responsible owner, you would have your dog. If there's barking, there's a reason for that. If there's destruction, there's a reason for that. And those causes can be addressed, and preferably addressed before you actually go into a new rented accommodation. Dogs don't bark for no reason. There are a lot of dogs at the moment bought during COVID that had attention for 24 hours a day because people were at home. Now they're going back to work or being compelled to go back to stop working from home. And you get separation-related problems, which could be destructiveness, could be barking, it could be self-mutilation. And responsible owners need to take that on board about the concerns and address them before it becomes problematical.
Mm. Paul in Dublin has got in touch. Stay with me, Jim, if you don't mind, for a few moments. I just want to bring listeners some of our texters' views about this today. Would Dogs Trust cover the cost of a pet destroying a rental property? All well and good coming up with this nonsense of somebody else, if it's somebody else's property. It's my property, not yours, according to Paul. This listener says, I think this is just madness. I love pets, but you can't tell somebody who owns their property that they want to rent out that they have to take in a pet. It's their property. I think this is absolutely ridiculous. John in Cork says, I own a dog. I have my own house. I confine her to one room. Otherwise, my home would stink of dog. My brother bought a house. It was absolutely stinking. It took him ages to get rid of the smell. Would the tenants care if the dog wrecked a rented property? I think not, according to John. James is with me on the line in Meath. James, you're a landlord. Do you allow dogs?
I'm very reluctant to allow a dog in. We had a dog at one stage and a big Alsatian, and it was a disaster area, to be honest with you. So I am very reluctant to do anything like that. And in honesty, it's more the owner than the dog. You know, if the owner is responsible, you know, it might not be too bad, but a lot of owners are not responsible at all because they don't give a flip about a rented house, and they don't, you know, and it's a lot. The next day you get a phone call, this is wrong, that's wrong, the other's wrong, and it could have been the dog that went haywire one day and tore the wires out of something, you know, so...
Why did you obviously had a bad experience, did you, with the Alsatian in your rental property?
We, We did.
And what happened?
Well, first of all, we didn't know it was an Alsatian. We were told it was a small dog. And the next thing, they arrived with this massive, I'll say, well, not massive, standard Alsatian dog. And, well, he just was allowed to run riot. I mean riot. If you pass the house at all, he'd paws be up in the window, be scratching the window and so on. And I don't think he was ever taken for a walk. You know, we have a big garden now. We have a big garden out on the property. So like, we live in the country, so there's plenty of room for the dog to be walked, you know. But I don't think he was ever walked at all, to be honest with you. So it was, and I would not, and cats, yes, I don't have much of a problem with cats. I'm not mad about them, but a dog.
You're not living with them, no. I suppose, if the tenant wants to bring them in.
I love dogs. I had a dog here, and unfortunately, the poor dog was killed. And he went everywhere with me. He'd be on the tractor with me. He'd be in the car with me. And at night, he'd come up and he'd sit on the room, in the bedroom. And I absolutely adored him. You know, I really did. Yeah. I never thought I was becoming attached to a dog.
And as Jim mentioned there, you know, if somebody came to you and said, look, you know, this is a good tenant and she lived with me before and I rented out a property to her and she has a dog and, you know, the dog's well behaved and she looks after it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. If you had a sort of a reference for the pet, like Jim mentioned, would you take the tenant on then?
I do not believe any reference, because what happens is a guy gets a person out of a house, and to get rid of him, he'll give you a good reference so that you will take the trouble on. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And so I don't trust the references whatsoever. We actually, at one stage, went to an auctioneer, to let a house to an auctioneer, thinking, because we have bad experiences, that this would be better. Jesus, even worse.
Right, okay, you didn't have a good experience. What about you, Gina? You're a volunteer with the Kildare Animal Charity. What's your experience about this?
Well, I can see it from both sides. I mean, on my side, rehoming was very difficult because you can't rehome a dog into a rental situation. Because even if they have written consent, the landlord can take away that consent at any time. And honestly, that's fair enough. I mean, years ago, we let out my granny's house. Dog was in there, and you want to see the state of the bottom of the doors. We had to replace all the doors.
Chewed off, were they?
Just chewed off. I mean, I totally see it. I have my own dogs in the house, and they're absolutely no problem. But my dogs are well exercised. They're not getting left at home by themselves or anything like that. And it's a very difficult situation. And I can totally understand with rescues, they won't want to see the dogs back. But they always see the dogs coming back from these rental situations. And it's awful.
So should landlords be forced then? Or should they have to give an explanation?
How can you force a landlord? How can you force them to take in a dog and then they have to pay repair fees for a house?
Well, Maurice made a good point, I thought, around the deposit. You know, I wonder if the deposits were increased, would that have any change at all?
Possibly it was. If you have a dog, you pay a higher deposit.
And maybe that might be considered.
That would cover any repairs, and I think that would be the best option that I could think of. It is a very difficult situation, and I can see it from all sides.